football on Off the Ball.
I think there's an interesting thing goes on when you have coaches who try to control so much, when they try to take the emotion out of it, when they try to make it data-driven. That leads to a loss of faith from fans in their players' abilities.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Football Show on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by William Hill. Download the app and play today.
Well, Keith, we had to wait a while. It was a slow burner. We got the drama at the end and massive 3 points for Liverpool because they weren't very good today, but they won't really care now.
I think Arne Slot might care, to be honest with you. I've been in games where, I wouldn't say Liverpool were battered from pillar to post, but they were second best for long, long periods against Nottingham Forest. And they kept playing out from the back. They kept, you know, just getting caught time after time after time. There was no real intelligent play. And they go and win the game. But if you're Arne Slot, if I was Mohamed Salah or even Alexis McAllister, who pops up with the winner, Cody Gakpo, Ekitike, I'd be expecting an earful after that game. I know they've won and they've got the 3 points, but a lot of the performances out there were nowhere near the standard required. And I know it's been an underwhelming season for Liverpool, but that 90 minutes in isolation again is nowhere near good. And the first half, they had an XG of 0.06, which just goes to show you they had nothing in the attacking third. Everything that went up to the front lads in the first half just bounced off them. They were all like trampolines. It was wave after wave of attack. And Salah's reaction for me, just smiling. He'd lose a battle and he'd smile. The referee'd give a foul against him and he'd smile. I'd like to see him get a little bit annoyed and start, you know, reacting to things. And I'm not saying going over the top with things, but bite down on the gum shield and show you're up for it rather than, you know, laughing things off all the time. So I don't think Arne Slot will be anywhere near happy. I'm sure he will be prepared to sweep it under the carpet and move on, but a couple of more performances like that. The bench was so poor that I think if he'd have had somebody at half time to replace those front lads, he'd have done it an awful lot earlier.
Well, one of the players that did come on and created the chance for the first goal that went to VAR, which was, ended up being disallowed, was Engamo. He found himself out on the right side and put in a lovely cross, and Ekitike, it's an amazing save from Ortega, but Ekitike should score. So Liverpool fans were excited by Ngamoa in pre-season. He was electric. Then he scored that goal against Newcastle as a 16-year-old, but we haven't seen much of him. I get it, you know, you've been a young player in the Premier League, you know what it's like, that you have to be protected. But when you see the impact, he didn't even have to do much to make an impact because of what you said before with some of the other players around them not doing very much.
Yeah, I understand if you're Arne Slot and you're thinking, I want to change it, me two wingers, Gakpo and Salah, haven't really been at the races, I might put Ngamoa on. Oli Yoyina is really aggressive when he's in 1v1 battles. As was Nico Williams, he was much better than Salah in that battle. So you're probably thinking, I don't want to put the young lad on and take away and, you know, hurt his confidence a little bit. There would be times where he needs to be drip fed in, but that game for me was on an absolute knife edge, and you're always a little bit standoffish in terms of putting younger kids on that don't have the Premier League experience. But he comes on in the end, and the amount of times that Salah got the ball high on the right wing and you're thinking, check back, cross it with your left, run down the wing, do whatever you like, do something, but he just took a touch and passed it backwards. Nico Williams must have been thinking, brilliant, don't run at me, please don't run at me. And I was always told as a winger, you get the right back one-on-one, run at him, because that's the one thing he doesn't want you to do is run. And Salah, he came up against somebody who was just as quick as him today and really, really struggled. But I give Ngamo an awful lot of credit. He ran around, he put some balls into the box, he asked questions. And yeah, when you come on in a really tight game like that, that's all you can do.
So a chance now with less than 2 minutes to go. Kempes versus Shelton. Goal, and Shilton was left without a hope.
Mario Kempes, the star of Argentina's first World Cup triumph in 1978, scored a whopping 303 goals over the course of his career, which included spells at Valencia, Rosario Central, River Plate and Instituto. But what if his career had taken a different path and ended up at Spurs? Well, just years after helping his nation win their first World Cup, he nearly joined his fellow countrymen in Ozzie Ardiles and Ricky Vija at the North London club. But why didn't the deal get over the line? Well, in episode 4 of Richie McCormack's Sliding Doors, Richie explains why the transfer didn't come to fruition for one of the best strikers in the world of the 70s and 80s. Find this week's episode in your OTB Football podcast feed for free each and every Monday. You can also go back and listen to the other episodes in this series focusing on Michael Laudrup, Pelé and Ronaldo. Subscribe in your OTB Football podcast feed now.
Yeah, like, I think obviously we're talking about Liverpool not being good today, but a lot of that was down to how good Forest were in terms of the very first minute. You know, we got the news that Virts was a late withdrawal because he got injured in the warm-up. Curtis Jones went in there, couldn't get up to speed. He ends up dropping in at right back. But Forest are the first to every ball, especially in that first half.
Yeah, and it's strange. If you'd have looked at the two teams, you'd have thought Liverpool must have played midweek. They look leggy. They're second into the tackles. They're losing the individual balls. They're not picking up the seconds. Everything, the basics of the game to get yourself a platform to move forward, Forest were winning all of them. And look, Liverpool wrestled back in the second half. They tried a little bit more. They had a bit more bite in the middle of the park. But really passive. Really, really passive. And I was looking at all the stats. Successful tackles from Liverpool, they're the worst in the league for it. And when you look at Gravenberch and Szoboszlai, McAllister, brilliant footballers, but they're going to have to stick their foot in that little bit more. And so often now, when you look at modern day football, it's about pressing high and winning the ball high in the opposition half. Liverpool very rarely did that today. Nottingham Forest did it an awful lot more than Liverpool did. So they're going to have to somehow make their press a weapon, Liverpool. I know Salah's press is not probably what it needs to be. Gakpo on the other side can be a little bit loose at times, but Arne Slot has an awful lot of work to do in terms of off the ball stuff, not just on the ball.
Yeah, you said before the game when you were talking to John ahead of the match that you still fancy Liverpool to get Champions League. They only need top five by the looks of it.
Yeah.
They still have to play Chelsea at Anfield. They do have a trip to Old Trafford to come as well against Manchester United. But would you still be confident after watching that today?
I would still be confident. I think I'm not thinking Liverpool will get fourth because they're absolutely brilliant this season. I think Chelsea have that little bit of a soft underbelly to them. You look at them defending set pieces against Burnley yesterday, nowhere near good enough. So I think they'll lose a handful of games. The stuff that Lean Rosenior has done, I know he took one of the Chelsea players, he put him on and took him off during the 90 minutes. Players don't like that sort of stuff. That can get round the dressing room. And even his interview after the Burnley game saying, you know, we assigned somebody to that player and he didn't do his job, that's basically throwing another player under the bus. So yeah, I know I've heard that a lot of the Chelsea players like Liam Rossini, but for me, Manchester United are probably the biggest threat in terms of the Champions League race. But I think, just like today, Liverpool, by hook or by crook, will get in there somehow.
OK, let's talk about Forest. Vitor Pereira's first home game, first Premier League game as Forest boss. Started well, obviously, on Thursday night with a 3-0 win. I mentioned in commentary when he took over Wolves last season, he picked up 7 points from their opening three games. Did you see enough on that to think they'd be all right? Now, that's now 13 games this season they haven't scored in the league.
Yeah, that is a worry. Even when you look back to Sean Dyche's last game against Wolves, I think it was 30-odd shots and so many chances, a huge XG, but they don't hit the back of the net. And that's a big, big thing for them. 25 goals this season. I mean, that's going to put you right into the relegation battle off the top. And when you look at Milenkovic and Murillo, the two centre-halves, I'm a big, big fan of, but they've been a bit leaky as well. And I just think they've become stretched. They've got European football. The squad has become stretched. There's so much happening in terms of the manager. I mean, Ange Postecoglou's style of play, Deshaun Dyche's style of play, the Victor Pereira style of play, it's just a little bit all over the place. But what I do like from Victor Pereira, I know he favours a back three. I think he's had a look at the Forest dressing room and thought, I can't change too much here in this relegation running. We need to hit the ground running. And look, I would probably, in this game in isolation, I would rather be in the Forest dressing room than the Liverpool dressing room. I know Liverpool have won the game, but Forest, for me, there's little green shoots there to think they'll have enough. And even West Ham must be thinking, tell you what, Forest have a little bit about them. They didn't play poorly there. So I still think Forest will do enough, but West Ham just keep churning out performance after performance. So I'm not too sure. I think it's going to be a brilliant race, but I think Forest will stay away from it.
The Football Show on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by William Hill. Download the app and play today.